Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis, Shir number 571, when the Sefer Binyan Abayis, Living Marriage. We're in lesson number 5, bringing the Holy Union down to earth. And there are 3 further points that can assist a couple in increasing the power of their unity and their intimacy. What Rav Shneur Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, told the author. Number 1 is the power of the unifier, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Shnei Kotler told him many times that when a couple perceives the awesome differences between men and women, very often they become overwhelmed by hopelessness. They see the gap is so far that how could they ever bridge that gap and become one and unified and connected and understood by each other? And Shnei tells them not to worry, because they're not the ones that need to create the unity. The power of the unity is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true that every success needs HaSiyata Deshmaya, needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help them. But over here, even more so. The Maral explains that that's why the name of Hashem is implanted in a man and in a woman. The Yud in the man, the He in the woman. So Hashem stamped his own name in the couple's essence, in order to assure that this nais will happen. With the help of Hashem, every couple, even the smallest Jewish person, whoever smallest could be the one to define that, can achieve the connection of this unity in marriage. So that's number 1, the power of the ma'achid, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number 2 is part of it, is the power within us. It's the power of within us, zachu. We have the ability to be Zahu. Zahu Shchinah Shroya B'neim. You don't need a very high kavanas. You don't need to be on a high madrega. A couple simply needs to allow the natural powers of unification, which includes a mutual love as well as a physical desire, to express it in the way that Hashem put it in them in their natures. And if they do that, they'll be Matzliach. The foundation of the Kedusha is their love. Not precious, but their love. The foundation of a couple's Kedusha is their Ahava towards each other. And that attracts the Shechinah. That brings the intimate union of Ahava Deicheches as Abasa, which we learned before about how love overcomes the flesh and things that could be challenging, and love overcomes that. And you need Siyata Deshmaya to bring them to one, and a power that transcends the physical. And when there's no real love, then there's no Shechinah, and there's no Kedusha. When there is real love, there is a real Shechinah, and there is Kedusha. The Vilna Gaon basically says, you learn the shiurim we gave in this series and in Matoivo Ailecha, when we talked about, and Rabbi Peretz Friedman, we spoke in different shiurim about the 9 negative attributes when intimacy is used in a destructive way. Well, very simply, what a couple does is they do the reverse of that, the extreme opposite of what those 9 things represent, to complete the love between a husband and wife, to strengthen the unity and the love between each other. So there is the power of the Ma'achid Hashem, then there's the power Hashem implanted within us ourselves, and then there's the expression of the unified couple as one. So how do you express that unification on a practical level? So one of the Gedolim asked the author, how could you check whether the Shechinah is in your home? And he answered very simple. The couple's love for each other is a direct expression of their inner spiritual connection. The love in their hearts has to be present, has to constantly need strengthening and continuing work to grow. It's an endless ladder going up and up and up. And a couple wants to strengthen their intimacy, they strengthen their love for each other. If a couple feels their intimacy is lacking, they may be lacking in some aspects of love, and it's important to develop marital love. And how to develop marital love is a main topic that he is going to discuss, Be'ez Hashem, in lesson number 7. And it makes no difference whether you're married many years or a small amount of years. Then he goes into the idea of physical desire and intimacy. The devik, that's the binder that binds the couple. And as we mentioned many times, of course the pursuit of physical pleasure as an end in of itself is rejected by the Torah. The Torah doesn't reject physicality, but the Torah rejects physicality as an end in and of itself. Physicality is acceptable and even encouraged when it's used for a specific healthy purpose. So one may think, well, if that's the case, then I would be doing better if I try to minimize my physical pleasure. And a couple could exceed, maybe they could have a physical connection and they don't need that extra pleasure. They should try to minimize it and not work towards increasing it. And the answer is not so. You do try to increase it. But again, all in the healthy confines of what we learned in lesson number 4, of the connection that it's a threefold connection, physical, emotional, and even spiritual. So if you don't look at it that it's just two bodies physically connecting, but there's an inner power of attraction, of desire, that has a spiritual element to it for the purpose of unification and love, then the increase of that pleasure is a healthy thing to strive for. Not as an end of itself, but to intensify the love between a husband and a wife. The Ramban says the Tzisoid, which is a tremendous, powerful chiddush. The Ramban on the Torah, when it talks about the bracha, is that Yitzchak wanted to bench Esav initially, and he asked him to bring him food so he could enjoy it, so he would inspire to bless him more. And the Ramban says an amazing thing. He says that Masha Amal Avarach Yisei Achas Yisei Matamim, when Yitzchak blessed asked to bless Esav and he should prepare for food, his blessing was not as a reward. Oh, Esav, you bring me the food as a bribe, then I will bless you. No, that's not why Yitzchak asked to bring the food. Yitzchak wanted to receive pleasure from Esav. Why? So that his nefesh, the soul of Yitzchak, would be connected to the nefesh, the soul of Esav, be'eis hanah, at the time of the pleasure. The yivarach oisei b'chefetz mali v'ratzayin shalim, so he would bless him with complete desires and goodwill. Now Yitzchak was a ayal tamima, he was kodesh kadoshim, he was separated from the whole world, and nevertheless over here, Yitzchak still had a feeling for physical pleasure, obviously, and he wanted, according to the Ramban, and he wanted the food from Esav so he could enjoy it, and that joy will connect the soul, his soul to Esav's soul, at that time that he has pleasure from this, and he would bless him with a full heart. You see from here that physical pleasure, here it's in eating, it applies to sexual as well, brings one to bind with one that provides the pleasure. So the tasty food that Yitzchak enjoyed would allow his nefesh. His nefesh, again, is the lower aspect of soul most associated with the physical body, so that his nefesh would bind with Esav in order to bench him with all his heart. The Rashi in Sanhedrin Nun Chesam Bey says that a woman does not have pleasure from intimacy with her husband. If she does not have that pleasure, then the husband will not be her husband will not be dovik to her, even if physical connection is achieved. So the pleasure is important. However, of course, if the pleasure becomes a goal itself, then they will arrive at a state of separation, not of unity. To find a proper balance is very healthy. So here's an amazing idea. Number one, first of all, is that many righteous people approach the author for advice on how to increase their spiritual level of intimate relations. Not because they have any problems with it, but they want to make it better. And what were their responses? One response they thought, he asked, what do you think? How could you make your intimate life better and your overall relationship better? So one response was, you increase your kavana of purity. Make it more l'shem shemayim for the mitzvah and minimize your own pleasure, which we're going to realize soon that that's not the right approach. The second thing they said is increase their intention of giving their wife pleasure and focus less on their own desires, which has some truth to it, but it's not the whole truth. So he basically surprised them with a Gemara that the stipler showed to the author and explained. The Gemara Nida Yudzayin brings that there was a righteous king, Munbaz. And there were three things he did that the Chazal were very praiseworthy of him. They said he did a good thing. And number one that he did is him and his wife had relations during the day, that he praised them for it. Now, we know an halacha doesn't say it here, but we're going to get into it, l'ketchila, not to do it by day, but by night, or even and by day if you need to, when it's dark, whatever it is. But over here, they praise them for having relations by day. Why? Because since at night, he was overcome with sleep, with Rashi says, mitoshu nenas b'shina, because he was overcome with tiredness. You know, he couldn't do it. And he was too tired for it. And Valiba Kutzba. And what would happen is his heart would be disgusted by that because it's draining and he's extremely tired. And Bumibne Tesmida is Dumrub and Dharma. It's included in the 9 negative attributes. So this is sort of shocking. King Munbaz was busy with his malchus. When nighttime came, he was too tired to have the proper mindset, to have a proper intimate relation with his wife. So Rashi explained that even though he had some level of desire to her, but still he was overwhelmingly tired, his heart would be repulsed by the union. And his kavana was for the sake of the mitzvah. And Rashi explains further that his intention was strictly l'shem shamayim, or to give his wife pleasure. So on a simple level, you know, basically you're saying that the king wasn't getting personal pleasure out of it. His intention was only to make his wife happy. But Rashi adds something that it wasn't proper to have intimate relations when he was overtired like that. Again, the best thing is to ask a shayla, by the way. And very often a wife will say, or a husband, they're way too tired at night, but they need to be intimate. They work on it very strongly. One aids is to set out an alarm, get nights some, you know, good degree of sleep, and then wake up later into the night and have relations then. You ask a shayla on the daytime. There's definitely a lot of kulas, as long as there's a bias offal, if that's the healthy time that is good for the couple. But that is a halachic thing that you speak to a rav to. But the teaching here gives you an insight on what kedusha and intimacy is. That the essence of the couple's union is to lead them to a state of unity. If in their hearts, in the case of Munbaz, the husband was not interested in the union, there's no yichud. It's even not forbidden. It possibly could be forbidden. Again, we're not talking about general tiredness. You know, everyone is tired in life. You know, wait till you're fully rested, it won't happen. But extreme overtiredness where you really just can't get into that mode at all, then it needs to be moved to a different time when it is good for both partners, for both husband and wife, to use their kaychais, including their physical drive, to get them to the unification of the yichud, of the oneness that is both physical and emotional and spiritual. So there will be discussion later, he says in a note here, in lesson 10 in particular, that physical desire is an essential part of intimacy, but you have to not use it in and of itself as a pursuit just for physicality for its own sake. And how to create that balance in a person, in a human being, in a husband, in a wife, where they have the drive and they want to increase their physical pleasure to unify with each other, but not fall into the trap of having it as an end in and of itself, is something that was discussed and he'll continue to discuss. And through the book, I'm sure we'll get to work on how that healthy balance could be achieved. Bracha natzlacha.